What is the biggest question for the Denver Broncos as they prepare to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, plus the keys to victory? What does Denver have to do to ensure that they leave Sunday's matchup with a win heading into the bye week? And does a win help Vic Fangio's chances of staying past 2021? Sarah Bettinger, myself, we break it down on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network. Your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside, as always, by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger. Both of us cover the Denver Broncos for the Locked On Network and Nine News. Make sure you follow and subscribe. Free and available everywhere you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe and watch us on YouTube. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, and thank you so much, Broncos country, for making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day. Sarah, great as always to see you, my friend. We had a great crossover episode with Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles yesterday. Now it's kind of like setting the table for the final preparations for this matchup. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Cody. Doing great. You're right. It was a great episode talking with Louis, talking about the Eagles, getting a little bit of insight into, I think, what we're going to talk about today. Some of the keys to victory, some of the ways that I feel like the Broncos can really build on this two-game winning streak. It feels like they're, I hate to say, catching fire, because it just feels, you know, the winning feeling is a good feeling, Cody. It gets you starting to talk, like we talked about before, talking about re-signing guys. It gets you starting to talk about, man, could Vic Fangio potentially be back? I know we'll talk about that later, but it's a good feeling. It's a really good feeling, and it makes these exchanges, you know, it makes our episodes and our show and exchanges with people that comment, it makes that all the more fun.
Yeah, it does. And look, as Teddy Bridgewater described it, this is a dangerous time right now, which it was interesting, probably one of the most interesting quotes we've heard. But I think he's very right, because he said, you know, when you win and you get this feeling of winning again after all of a sudden you had lost four straight games, and Teddy had said it, everybody was saying, trade this guy, get rid of this guy, fire this guy. And he says, now all of a sudden you're winning. It's like, oh, you're the best. Makes sense. The world of sports is very emotional in that sense. But We talk about how much winning can impact you, right? We talked about that after the first 3 weeks. We talked about how losing can impact you. We saw a lot of the negative sides of what losing does to a locker room through that four-game stretch. And all of a sudden, you're on a two-game win streak, and with a chance to make it three, there's so much on the line here. And a win or a loss can really set the tone, the trajectory for the rest of the season for the Denver Broncos. So I think Teddy makes a great point there. But Sarah, I want to get into a portion on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, to start off the show, ladies and gentlemen. The biggest question for the Broncos against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Sarah, I'm going to present mine to you. I'm eager for your thoughts, and I can't wait to hear what yours is. But how will the Broncos, in your opinion, game plan for Jalen Hurts? Question what you want about his accuracy, inaccuracy, inconsistency as a passer, but he's only 196 yards rushing behind Lamar Jackson so far this season as a quarterback. So kind of putting things into perspective, how do you think the Broncos will game plan for Jalen Hurts?
Well, you just mentioned his name, Lamar Jackson. I feel like having that matchup against the Ravens earlier this season is going to help the Broncos this week against the Eagles, right? I mean, they had to prepare. They basically forced Lamar Jackson to win from the pocket, which the false narrative is that they didn't think that he could beat them from the pocket. The true narrative is that they wanted to, they felt like that was playing more into their strengths than letting Lamar Jackson just run around. I think you have to have a very similar game plan. I think that's a really great question. How do you handle Jalen Hurts? Like Louis mentioned, he's on pace for almost 1,000 yards rushing. So they're getting the job done in that way. And that can be deflating for a defense, Cody. We've seen that. How many times have we seen that in Broncos games in recent years, where they'll seem to have a really good coverage on a long third and long play, and then Pat Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson or somebody else will run and pick up 14 on third and 13 or something like that, just a random situation. But I think you got to do similar to what you did against the Ravens. Force Jalen Hurts to beat you from the pocket and take your chances there. Take your chances with your coverage unit. So to me, that seems like the no-brainer way to go about it. And I think even recently, Cody, we talked about this going into the Washington game, how good of a scrambler Taylor Heinicke is. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is probably quite a bit faster in terms of just like his pure 40 times speed and things like that. But similar way, you got to defend these guys. You want to force them to stay in the pocket. I'd like to see a little bit of Baron Browning maybe spying Jalen Hurts in this game. See if you can't match athleticism with athleticism in that way. My major question, Cody, is this, and it's based off of what we talked about with Louie. He said that the Eagles are not giving the ball away at a high rate whatsoever. I think actually even you brought that up to him, and he talked about why that is. So my question is, how do the Broncos create turnovers against Jalen Hurts in this Philadelphia Eagles offense?
Well, and I think it kind of aligns with my question too, right? Because you have to account for Hurts as a rusher and also as a passer. And I don't think that the Broncos can go into this game with the same mindset or the same wherewithal that they had against the Ravens, right? I think your game plan has to be kind of similar, but you can't expect your guys to be cover zero the entire game. I think that's what really hurt the Broncos against the Ravens. But I do think that Kenny Young, Baron Browning, as we saw in the Dallas Cowboys film, these guys have been difference makers so far for the Broncos. And I put a tweet out there, going back and watching those two guys on film, they presented a dynamic at inside backer that Vic Fangio has not had in his prior two seasons here with the Broncos. I see a lot of that 2018 Chicago defense with Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, with Baron Browning and Kenny Young, what Vic Fangio was able to do. He's got the personnel to do it. And we were talking about the impact of the loss of Josie Jewell, Alexander Johnson, Sarah. I think the addition of these two all of a sudden has me more excited, probably than I should be. But you know what? That's what we're here for. I'm here to be excited. I'm here. I'm about that action. And if I'm wrong, look, I'll own up to it. But these two players have created a different dynamic for this Broncos defense that they simply haven't had. And look, the fact that it was their real second week really getting into the mix here, I wonder what they'll look like in week three, more comfortable in the scheme. So in my opinion, I think that you could see some spy situations, but I think it also goes to the fact that what the Broncos did against Taylor Heinicke, they didn't do a lot of these twist stunts. They went upfield and they made sure that their interior penetration didn't get too wide or didn't get too far upfield. They really kind of collapsed the pocket around Taylor Heinicke. So I think that you still have to have a similar game plan in that approach here if you're the Denver Broncos, Sarah. And these are really some questions I think that we're eager to have answered on Sunday when the Broncos host the Eagles to 25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff. Both you and I will have complete coverage and recap on the post-game report following the game. So Broncos Country, make sure you're subscribed so you never miss out on all that action. But Sarah, I like that question. I think it's a very good one. It's applicable to the Denver Broncos. Can they learn a lesson from what happened in the Baltimore game, carry that lesson over here, and adjust against a Philadelphia Eagles team that simply doesn't give the football away? And I think if you can force Jalen Hurts to kind of try to do things, to force things, that's how you're going to start getting some of these turnovers. The fact that they've been so clean 10 weeks into the NFL season is impressive. So can Denver come in and can they find a way to maybe negate that a little bit and help that stat down the stretch for them? So that's something we're going to be looking at seeing. But Sarah, also another thing coming up here in just a moment, we're going to talk about is our keys to victory in Broncos country. If you want to get in on the action, make sure you comment on YouTube what you believe the biggest key is for the Denver Broncos to accomplish in this game against the Eagles in order for them to come out on top. Let us know in the comment section. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But I got to tell fans and listeners of Lockdown Broncos about McDonald's, a sponsor of our show, Sarah. And McDonald's, they've been proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. It's a place where classmates can come meet up for a study group. It's a place where friends and rivals can come together. It's where opponents can come together, the home team, the away team, to refuel and reconnect after a long day. And it's also a place that we always look forward to stopping when we're on a long road trip to refuel and reconnect. And obviously, I have my morning routine with McDonald's, with the sausage, egg McMuffin, with the hash brown. And we also have a lot of listeners that tell us that they love lunch. They love the Big Mac. They love the quarter pounder. They love the McFlurries. You can't go wrong with some of the tasty treats that McDonald's has to offer. So ladies and gentlemen, we want to have you go to your local McDonald's today and get in on the action, courtesy of the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Getting into our keys to victory here, Sarah, obviously for the Broncos, we talk about keys to victory. And I always have to think, we put it in a perspective. When we talk about keys to victory, these are things that we believe the Broncos have to do if they're going to win the game. Not saying they're going to do that, right? I think that there's been some confusion in the comment section at times that, well, this didn't happen. Well, I mean, ideally it didn't. You know, it's easier to say that they need to do this in order to win, but it's a lot harder to do it considering it's the NFL. But Sarah, I want to start off on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to share mine here. In my opinion, I think when we look at this Philadelphia Eagles offense, it's a sixth-ranked rushing offense right now in the National Football League. They have a by-committee approach. They have also Jalen Hurts there. you have to limit some of these explosive plays. And it goes back to what you had mentioned in the prior segment. Let's say it's a 3rd and 13 situation and the Broncos are spread out in coverage. Let's say the pass rush gets too far upfield. Jalen Hurts dips up underneath. His speed is something else. And I tell you what, going back and watching the Chargers game that they played last week, he constantly got to the edge. So contain is going to be huge. And I think you can limit a lot of these. If Jalen Hurts is running all over you, they're not going to really try to pass the football, Saren. So it's going to limit a lot of those opportunities. But through the air, through the ground, the Broncos cannot give up the big play. And I think that's something that they've done a really good job of defensively the last 2 weeks. They have limited the big explosive play from happening. And I expected to see a little bit more explosive plays from the Cowboys offense. Denver's coverage was spot on. So I don't want to say that I'm not worried. I just think that you can't overlook Philadelphia. You have to limit these things from happening. What is your key to victory here for the Broncos?
Yeah, Cody, I think that's a great point. Limiting the big plays has to be an emphasis. We saw how badly that killed the team during that 4-game losing streak. So I think that's absolutely critical. I think offensively, it's really play to Teddy Bridgewater's strengths all throughout this game. We talked with Louie. He said that the Eagles have given up, what, over 75% completion percentage to opposing QBs this season, which, man, that's kind of a staggering statistic. But the fact that Teddy Bridgewater is completing over 70% of his passes led me to believe, and I didn't want to say this when he was sitting here talking with us, but I'm like, dang, that actually makes me feel really good about this game now that you mentioned that, because we know that Teddy can complete passes at a high rate, and the Broncos have guys that can make plays after the catch. I hate to be a broken record about that, but if you do what Teddy Bridgewater does best and complete these high percentage throws, it sounds like you give yourself the best chance to beat the Eagles. It may not necessarily require, like we've been hoping for in these prior games, taking those deep shots downfield. It may not require that to beat this kind of a team. So I feel like play to Teddy Bridgewater's strengths in this game. I'd love to, within that key, Cody, I would love to see Cortland Sutton getting a bit more involved in the game plan. I know he had the big pass interference penalty called against his defender last week that led to ultimately a touchdown. So it's not like he wasn't involved at all, but the stat sheet doesn't reflect a pass interference that you get called in your favor. So yeah, love to see Sutton more involved in that. Do what Teddy Bridgewater is great at.
Well, I'm also eager to see whether or not Garrett Bowles will play in this matchup. Vic Fangio said this week it's less than 50-50, so I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think we're going to see Calvin at left tackle again. I think we're going to see Quinn Meinerz at right guard. I think that you go with what works, and that's what was working for the Broncos last week. Now, the bigger question is going to be at right tackle. Do you go with, you know, a guy like Cam Fleming, or do you go with Quinn Bailey? Quinn Bailey's name got brought up a little bit. I would go with Cam Fleming here. I mean, he obviously, he's taken up a spot on your 53-man roster. He did well last week, right? So put him back in, and don't change the chemistry unless you absolutely need to, right? I'm a big believer in keeping things simple, keeping things consistent, and I'm excited to see a little bit more of Quinn Meinerz. But this plays into my Broncos offensive key to victory here, and that's going to be for the Broncos to rumble. Broncos rumble with Javonte Williams, who just won Rookie of the Week, by the way. Congratulations to him. Well deserved. He got snubbed on angry runs, though, for Eno Benjamin. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. Kyle Brandt, come on. What are you doing there? But outside of that, I think that the run game, the formula, what we've seen with this Broncos team, their identity can be embodied by running the football and pounding it down opponents' throats, and then being able to pass the football when those defenses try to stack the box. And they didn't do it last week against slouches there, Sarah. They had Randy Gregory. They had Micah Parsons, who was a force. Denver got after the Dallas Cowboys last week. And I know a lot of people in the national media, even the Locked On Cowboys guys, are saying, oh, the Cowboys just played so bad. No, Denver went in there, they stopped a mud hole in Dallas's rear end, and they walked it dry, ladies and gentlemen. So let's not minimize what the Broncos did, what the Cowboys didn't do. Dak Prescott had time. Dak Prescott didn't have any guys to throw because they were covered. So I'm going to get off my little soapbox there. But rumble, Broncos, rumble. Sarah, for you defensively, what is your Broncos key to victory?
Man, yeah, Cody, wow. That was the first time I've heard that that turn of phrase that you just said there. So I'm a little taken aback, but I love it. I absolutely love it. Man, defensively, key to victory in this game, it seems like the Broncos have been doing such a great job in coverage, but really, Cody, the pass rush has ramped it up for me these past two games. So the key to victory for me is going to keep on eating those, let those pass rushers eat, let those guys do what they do best, continue to be creative. Like you said, not necessarily going cover zero, but man, get creative with some of these blitzes. I when watching the film, I was I absolutely loved this, Cody. And I think that if people will go back and watch the game, you'll see Kyle Fuller blitzing quite often and getting really close to getting sacks. You'll see Kenny Young coming on a couple blitzes, getting close to a couple of sacks. You'll see Baron Browning coming on an occasional blitz. You'll see Caden Searns coming on the blitz. To me, this is a game where you have to get creative and stay creative, as Vic Fangio has been, getting these weapons on the defense involved in the pass rush and letting them do what they do best. Those guys are good at this. They're really, really good at it. Kenny Young was really good at it with the Rams, and he's continued to be good at it in 2 weeks in Denver. Continue to send these guys on blitzes. Continue to be aggressive in the pass rush. Like you said, you're going to have to stay home. You're going to have to make sure you don't get too far upfield. But the pass rush to me is key in this game, making Jalen Hurts make decisions that he will regret.
One decision, I like those. The one decision I won't regret though, Sarah, is using the GetUpside app, right? The GetUpside app allows me to never pay full price at the gas pump ever again, especially as gas prices are constantly rising and dropping. One thing is for certain with the GetUpside app is that I'll never have to pay full price ever again at the pump, because the GetUpside app, which is available, by the way, free in your Google Play or your Apple App Store, allows you to never pay full price. And you can also get 25 cents per gallon cash back every single time that you go to the tank and you fill up. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have a chance to make up to $200 to $300 a month in cash back alone, depending on how often you drive, how often you're filling up your gas tank. And they're also adding a little bit of a bonus to it as well. If you download the GetUpside app today and you use promo code Touchdown on your first tank fill up with the GetUpside app, they're going to give you an additional 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank fill up. That's 50 cents per gallon cash back the first time you fill up with the GetUpside app. And they also make it easy for you to cash out. You can connect your bank account, your PayPal. You can connect to Amazon gift cards or other gift card brands, and they make it easy for you to cash out and to be able to use those things based on how often you drive. So get the GetUpside app today. Once again, use promo code Touchdown to get 25 cents per gallon cash back every single time you fill up at the gas pump. As we jump into the fourth quarter of today's episode, Locked On Broncos, just want to say thank you so much to Broncos Country for making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day. Also for watching us on YouTube and interacting with us. You can watch us on your TV, your telephone, or your computer. We're here every single day for you, covering the Denver Broncos all year long. Sarah, my friend, we talked about keys to victory. We talked about the biggest question for the Broncos against the Philadelphia Eagles. But there's another question. There's also something else I kind of have my eye on that pertains to this team and also on Sunday. And it's, does a win help Vic Fangio's chances of staying with the Broncos after 2021, right? And I think it's been said that he's got a playoff mandate in his contract this year, that if they don't make the playoffs, more than likely he could be fired. But I think that if things start to change, Sarah, a little bit, and maybe it's the change in the lineup, maybe it's the additions of Kenny Young and Baron Browning, and it's got these defenses, got the team playing a lot better, maybe it's that. But I also wanted to pinpoint, right now the Broncos sit at 5 wins, Sarah. You know how many total wins they had last year? 5. They only had 5 total wins last year. Went 5-11. So they're already at their win total from last season. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think the 4-game losing streak was definitely one of the darker periods so far of this season. And the second half of the season, it's not going to be easier, because in their final 8 games that they have, 5 of them against AFC West divisional opponents. That presents a lot of challenges in and of itself. However, if the Broncos are winning games and they finish above 500 and the direction that the team is heading is good, the defense is playing well, does that help Vic Fangio's chances of staying on the roster, in your opinion, or do you believe that it's playoffs or bust for him? I know Broncos fans feel a certain way. I'm just going to keep it open here in terms of that. What are your thoughts?
It's a great question, right? And it seems like this is like a little bit of a roller coaster. We kind of talked about this early on with Teddy Bridgewater for sure, and then a little bit of Vic Fangio. Then as the 4-game losing streak happens, it's like, well, who can we have at the forefront of our mind as potential replacements? And now we're getting back up into winning. And you're right, Cody, winning cures all in the NFL. That's just the way of things. And it's very difficult for decision makers in front offices to justify firing a guy if you double your win total from the season before. Let's say the Broncos go 10-7, which would be awesome, you know, over the course of the rest of the season to go 10-7, maybe sneak into the back end of the playoffs. But let's say you win 10 games and you don't make it into the postseason. I don't know. I feel like that definitely bodes well for Vic Fangio on one hand. On the other, it's like it gives George Payton a reason to potentially kind of flirt with that market a little bit and just say, well, if there's somebody that I feel can really galvanize this crew, if I feel like there's a coach out there, either a coaching prospect or somebody who's, you know, established already as a head coach, like a retread, they call them. If there's somebody like that out there who could be potentially the Gary Kubiak that this team needs, you know, like that analogy that Broncos fans will get, You never know. I think you keep all options on the table. Now, if Vic Fangio gets us into the playoffs and they win a playoff game, how do you fire a guy like that? I mean, I guess John Fox got fired after, you know, I don't know. But John Elway was pretty ruthless. He even thanked himself, you know, after, you know, I want to thank John Elway. So
I remember that.
Real ones remember that. So it's tough to say. It's tough to say, right? I think you got to evaluate on the whole. But if they do make that kind of improvement under Fangio and they continue to win games this year, it certainly leads me to believe that he'll stick around.
Well, and the thing that's also stood out to me, too, the last couple of weeks, the Broncos have had pregame or like the team meeting speeches conducted by assistant coaches. It was Coach Kolar against the Washington football team last week. It was Curtis Modkins who gave the speech before the Dallas Cowboys game. I mean, this is a staff. I know that there are a lot of coaches on the staff that a lot of players like, and there's always going to be that dynamic where there's some players that don't vibe really well with the coach. And Vic's old school approach has certainly been something that has rubbed some people the wrong way. I mean, that's not breaking news. It's not brand new. It's not a revelation there. But I also think, too, as you mentioned, winning does cure all. And if the Broncos are winning games and all of a sudden the direction that they're heading, I don't know if George Payton is willing to say, hey, you know what, let's blow up everything up. I do think that the offense probably has a little bit more to prove right now. I think Pat Shurmur has more to prove right now, honestly, Sarah, than Vic Fangio. Even though the Vic is the head guy, Vic is going to do whatever he can to keep the defense, I think, to where it's at. But he also has to lead the rest of the team. His message has to be important. And there's some guys that he vibes well with in the locker room. There's some guys that, you know, don't vibe with him that well either. At the end of the day, as you mentioned, winning cures all. You can go into it and you can ask any player, what do you think about this? And they say, look, as long as we're winning, as long as it's helping me get paid, I'm not worried about it. So I think that matters a lot in this sense. But I think it is interesting to note that the Broncos 5 wins, them already being tied for how many they had last year, I think is a promising sign. And with the way that they've been playing, it's been an upward trend. The trajectory has been positive. If Denver wins a good majority, look, they got 8 games remaining. If they win 4 of these games, 5 of these games, I think they have a chance to make it on the back end of the playoffs. And yes, you have to hope some other teams in the AFC North start to lose some games and maybe have a worse record than you because you don't hold the tiebreaker against those teams. Now, unfortunately, you can't hold the tiebreaker against the NFC because none of those matter. It just helps your record. But divisional play is going to be so key for the Broncos. And if they can come out on top or ahead, I think that the AFC West this year can have 3 teams in the AFC playoffs. I think that's probably going to be more likely than what we see in the AFC North right now. But then again, the NFL has been so weird. Who knows, sir? But yes, I think this is an interesting question to answer. And Broncos country, let us know your thoughts as to whether or not you believe if Vic Fangio wins a majority of these second half stretch games for the Broncos, they make the playoffs. Do you think that the team should still make a change? I know that was a move that everyone was calling for. So it is an interesting thing to throw out. Winning does cure all. And that's where we're going to leave it on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Benjamin, myself, we'll be back tomorrow with a Lockdown Broncos show. We're going to keep you posted with the updated injury report. We'll have a little bit more clarity. 6 Broncos did not participate in Wednesday's practice. So we'll continue to see if guys come back. Good news, Mike Purcell was a full participant. So I expect that Mike Purcell is going to be back for this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But a lot to look forward to. Sarah Benjamin, myself, we have covered every single day with Denver Broncos news content coverage. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcasting provider. It's free and available everywhere. And also subscribe on YouTube. Turn on notifications so you never miss out. And we look forward to engaging with you in the comment section down below. I'm Cody Rourke, speaking for my co-host, Sarah Benninger. We'll see you then for a brand new episode, Locked on Broncos.